ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
Now for something completely different.
We're gonna bring it all together.
Contest the bottom line. Bottom line. Bottom line.
ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5. It's the bottom line with Brad Taylor. Alongside the best in the business, Angelo Carriero, who seems shocked that Kyle Tucker has blocked me on Twitter, I'm Brad Taylor. Thanks for joining us on this blessed Sunday morning. 381-1313 if you want to call in. We know there's a lot of stuff going on in the world today, and we are, you know, with anyone who wants to protest. A while back, I took my mom to a steakhouse. She got the fish and complained about it all night long. Why? You play to your strengths. You don't go to a steakhouse and get the fish. You get the steak. You're not tuning into ESPN Radio to get politics. You want sports. If you want sports and politics, go to the fanboy shows across town. They want to be politicians anyway. We'll try to leave the politics out of it, because if they're playing games somewhere, somebody's making some money. So why can't it be us? On today's show, we have a man we've been chasing down to be on this show for a while now. He's Mark Story, the Lexington Herald leader. He'll talk Reds. He'll talk UK football. And we try to get him to insult John Clay, but I don't think he's going to fall for it. Also, later on, we give it our SEC win totals, best bets for the coming season, for the entire SEC, and, of course, the most profitable segment in Lexington radio, our Mac Daddy Stogie Picks. We look at today's baseball card and the NBA playoffs. All kinds of actionable information here on The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. But first, we are the voice of the Reds here on ESPN Radio 1300 92.5, and the Reds have won 4 of 5 after a split of a doubleheader versus the Cubs yesterday. In fact, the Reds showed more life than ever yesterday as Joey Votto and Jesse Winker both were ejected for supporting their manager after Anthony Rizzo predictably got upset when a pitcher threw at his head, allegedly, of course. Typical bean brawl. One guy gets hit on one team, the other team retaliates, words are exchanged, umpires issue warnings, everybody comes out of the bullpens, lather, rinse, repeat. And of course, we all remember the brawl last year, when Amir Garrett basically ran to the Pirates' dugout and challenged 25 guys at one time to a fight. That was great stuff. So as much as we kill David Bell for his managerial skills, or lack thereof, yesterday proved once and for all that his players have his back, even in a disappointing season so far like this one. So that's a good thing, I guess. But this Reds' mini hot streak has come on the heels of Bell benching former MVP and 7-time on-base percentage champion Joey Votto. When asked about his benching for a couple days, Votto quickly corrected a reporter by saying three. It was 3 days, not two. So do you think Votto was happy about that? No, he was not. Manager David Bell calls Votto one of the best hitters of all time, and he's right. Votto won the MVP in 2010 and should have won it in 2017 as well. But times have changed and changed very quickly. Votto is dead last on the Reds in win above replacement WAR 0.8. That means he has had a negative effect on his team on the field this year. Keep in mind, no current player has a better on-base percentage in all of Major League Baseball, even with his struggles in recent years, than Joey Votto. Only 17 players have a better on-base percentage in the history of Major League Baseball than Votto. And as we point out on this show quite often, only 4 players have led the league in on-base percentage 7 times or more. Barry Bonds, Babe Ruth, Ted Williams, and Joey Votto. In any other market, Votto is a first ballot Hall of Famer, but in a small market that's never made a playoff run, Votto will probably have to wait a few years to be voted in, based on perception, but he will be voted in eventually. It's just a shame to see these last few years appear to be going downhill quickly for him. But maybe this benching actually helped. Bell had no problem putting Votto back in the leadoff spot yesterday, whether we agree with it or not, where he previously had gone 3-for-29 before his benching. And in 2 games on Saturday, Votto went 3-for-6 with a home run. His batting average went from 191 to 211. Nowhere to go but up there. Is Joey Votto the best player in the history of the Reds? Well, Joe Morgan and Frank Robinson may have something to say about that. And yes, I left out Pete Rose and Johnny Bench, but that's another topic for another day. Joey Votto is a Hall of Famer. And for those of you who are just yelling, trade him, he's owed $82 million over the next 3 years. So that's not happening. Despite the horrible start, both Votto and the Reds still have time to salvage this season. The Reds are tied for the 8th playoff spot in the National League right now. So there's still time for them to turn everything around for a franchise that invested quite a bit into competing this season. But with 27 games left, it better happen quickly, or else this season will go down as one of the most disappointing in team history. And that's the bottom line. ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5, The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Here's something I'm thinking you aren't ready to hear right now. The Kentucky Derby is 6 days away. And good news for horse gamblers, and I know there's a lot of you out there, Keeneland is now offering drive-through betting windows for the Derby this week. So if you like to go to Chick-fil-A and get your favorite combo, you can do the same thing at Keeneland and just drive up and bet on your favorite horse without even getting out of your car. Except Keeneland won't give you those waffle fries with that bet. That's a shame. What a time we're living in to be able to do stuff like that. Between that and the apps, you can bet on races from your phone. There's no excuse if you want to get down your action, and you've come to the right place for Derby picks because I ran into my horse racing expert this past week. He's not from the desert, but he knows a lot of people in the desert, and he's visited the desert a few times. He's our old friend Peyron Harris from Richmond, who's been playing the horses literally for decades. And he told me that his hot tip was Tis the Law to win the Derby. And then I realized, wait a minute, that's the favorite. You're nothing but a chalk pusher who takes the favorites. So he doubled down. Say, take Tis the Law, an art collector, in an exacta. The thing is, I thought he said fart collector. So I wondered, what kind of name is that for a horse? But yes, he quickly corrected me. It's art collector, no F in front. So there you have it from our bottom line horse racing expert, Peyron Harris in Richmond. He has spoken. An exacta, Tis the Law, an art collector, no F, for your exacta pick to win the Kentucky Derby. Box them, pin them, wheel them, whatever you got to do. And don't forget, if you need to listen to the Derby on the radio, check it out on our sister station, Hank 96.1 FM, next Saturday, 5:30 p.m. Now, I'm going to say this in advance. When I got that hot tip, Peyron was wearing a University of Louisville hat. So if that bothers you, so be it. But we're all about picking winners and not letting emotions affect our decision making. That's for the people in the Big Blue Nation to decide. Tis the Law, art collector, Derby exacta. You can take that Mac Daddy Stogie to the desert and smoke it. And that's the bottom line. ESPN Radio, 1392.5 FM. The bottom line with Brad Taylor. Coming up after the break, Mark Storia, the Lexington Herald leader, joins us to talk UK football. But first, Clark's Auto Service is a family-owned auto care service that has been serving Lexington since 1983. Bill Clark and his staff have remained open during the entire pandemic, and they're committed to keeping up with technological advantages to keep your car and truck on the road. My car gets serviced there, and I can't recommend anyone more than Clark's Auto Service, 764 Westland Drive here in Lexington, 859-253-1278, or you can get them online, clarksautolexington.com. Mark Storia of the Lexington Herald Leader talking UK football coming up after the break here on ESPN Radio at 92.5 and 1300. Legacy, family, crazy, look like a family, going out like a Montana. ESPN Radio, 1392.5, The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. And our next guest is a man who's been I've been trying to chase down on this show for a long time. He's the longtime sports columnist from the Lexington Herald Leader. He's Mark Storia. Mark, thanks so much for joining us here at The Bottom Line.
Thanks for having me, Brad.
Thank you, sir. Before we get into UK football, we are the voice of the Reds here at ESPN Radio, 1392.5. And I gather from your social media that you're a Dodgers fan. I'm sure that went over very well here, especially way back in the 70s and 80s when Don Sutton was scuffing balls and Kirk Gibson was limping around the bases. But it just seems to me the Dodgers feel like the 2018 Virginia basketball team. They got a number one seed and then they lost in the first round of the tournament, because if the Reds somehow sneak into that number eight spot in the playoffs and face them, they'll be going up against Gray, Bauer, and Castillo first round of the best of five, might put them out early.
Well, the Reds' starting pitching is really good. Yep. And in a short series, you know, I think the Dodgers saw last year with Washington, they ran into a team with a really, really good starting pitching and a team that was willing to use its really good arms in sort of unconventional, unorthodox ways. And the Dodgers still should have won that series, but they didn't. And sure, any team that has good starting pitching in a short series is dangerous.
Yeah, I think the Reds, if they get to the playoffs with that starting rotation, but the bullpen, this year it's all about the bullpen, so we'll see how that bullpen is going. Let's get into UK football. It's your wheelhouse. SEC has a 10-game schedule now. The Big Ten now says maybe we should reconsider all this. Are we really going to get 10 games of the SEC this year? Because it only takes one kid anywhere in America, college football, to have some undiscovered underlying health issue, just passing away, heaven forbid, to send everybody into a frenzy, and then everything stops on the spot, and then it opens up conferences like the SEC for second-guessing and accusations that TV money comes before the players' health concerns.
Well, that is a good question. The larger question in what you ask is, how much risk are these conferences willing to, you know, what level of risk are they willing to accept? I think if a player dies, yeah, I think it's going to shut it down. But, you know, the question is, you know, how many positive tests are you willing to take? You know, and I don't know that they've answered that. I'll be honest, I've been up and down like a roller coaster on whether they're actually going to play, and I now think they are going to play. I think the leagues that are moving forward are going to start, and, you know, we'll just have to see. I actually think Major League Baseball has been a success in that regard because they are outside the bubble, and while they've had some messy situations with the Marlins and the Cardinals especially, what they have been, you know, what they've done is when they've had a problem, they've shut down, you know, quarantined, gotten it under control, and everybody else has kept going. Now, you know, as you allude to, the optics are very different with professional sports versus, you know, major college sports. But I do think the fact that Major League Baseball has been able to keep its season going, you know, is at least indicates there's at least a chance that the college football season can also go.
Yeah, in college football, you've got 85, 19-year-old, 20-year-old kids, too. With Major League Baseball, they're a little older and you're not dealing with as many people. It's just going to be tough to deal with so many kids, and this virus just, it only takes one. It's crazy.
Somebody comes, you know, down with a serious, you know, health complication, then yeah, that may only take one. The other thing that's interesting about the colleges, I had thought for optics reasons that, you know, they would not be able to play if they didn't have the general student body on campus. But, you know, North Carolina and North Carolina State have sent their students home. As best I can tell, they both still plan to play. So I think in a lot of ways, this situation with the pandemic is sort of forcing college sports to sort of confront some of its contradictions, and the model coming out of this is going to look a whole lot different, I think, than what it has been going into it.
ESPN Radio 1392.5, The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor and Mark Story for the Lexington Herald Leader. What do you see Kentucky football games looking like from a fan's perspective this year? In terms of, they said no tailgating, we don't know how many fans will be allowed into the stadium. What do you think that's going to look like this season?
Well, I think Louisville has requested, what, 30% capacity? I would assume Kentucky will be, you know, 25, 30% if fans are allowed at all. You know, it's going to be very different. You know, it's going to look like some of the November games in the Bill Curry era is kind of what it's going to look like. But, you know, I think that all of this is a work in progress, and a lot of it we're just going to have to see. I don't think you're going to have the level of home field advantage no matter who you are. I don't think you'll have as much with, you know, your stadium a fourth to a third full.
You had an interesting column earlier this week regarding Eastern Kentucky, and they're playing 8 games this year, including the always popular home and home with Central Arkansas. Even if they go 8-0 and win every game by 100 points, all they really get is a pat on the back. They don't get to play for a championship. And so you can get on all these Power 5 schools for playing for TV money, but aren't these smaller schools just as guilty, or even more so, based on the fact that they're not playing for a championship of any kind? Because let's face it, I drive by Eastern's football stadium a couple times a week, and the upper deck there is now tarped off like the Miami Marlins.
I think Eastern, in some ways, has been the most interesting program in our state. Just, you know, they've had, you know, some issues. You know, players left the program saying that, you know, they didn't feel like the school was the COVID-19 protocols were what they should be. You know, the OVC, you know, said no, we're not going to play conference football in the fall, and, you know, at least held out the idea of playing in the spring. They did say you could play 4 non-conference games, but, you know, EKU decided, in fact, in the column, you know, the Eastern AD, Matt Roan, you know, pointed out why they don't think spring football is a viable alternative. And actually, if, you know, your issue with playing in the fall is player safety, there's a lot of reason to think it would actually be more dangerous to play in the spring. And I agree with him on that. But, you know, yeah, I think it's interesting. They're basically playing an independent schedule. And they're playing 3 FBS teams. You know, the 2 games with Central Arkansas, they're both, you know, Central Arkansas is a top 10 FCS program. So not only are, you know, they playing outside their league without, you know, any championship to play for, they're playing a darn tough schedule. I mean, they've really, you know, taken on a lot. So I think they're going to be a really interesting team to watch.
Let's get to Kentucky football now. Terry Wilson is someone we focus on quite a bit on this show, and people are very quick to point out to us especially that he's 12-3 as a starter, By the way, five of those 12 were against non-Power 5 schools, but I digress. And we've heard all the media spin this year. He's got a new haircut. He's got a new attitude. He's saying all the right things. He even tweeted out this week, this is not the same quarterback you've seen the last couple of years, but time will tell that soon. Well, for his sake, I hope he's right, because his quarterback rating in that dream season, when he went 10-3, he was still 13th out of 14 in SEC QBR, and he benefited greatly from playing alongside guys like Josh Allen and Benny Snell. And Pro Football Focus, which is all about data and analytics, they have him ranked 76th as far as quarterbacks going into this season. So when it comes to Terry Wilson for this year, 2020, am I supposed to believe the media spin that he's a new man, or the data of what he's actually done on the field?
Well, I'm a Terry Wilson fan. I thought he did a good job in 2018. He was put in a situation. He was a new quarterback coming into the program. He basically was a game manager, and he did it well, and that was what he needed to be. That's what that team needed. I think he was going to make normal improvement last year. I think, you know, granted it was against Eastern Michigan, but if you look at the game he got hurt in terms of standing in the pocket and working through progressions and making some really nice throws into tight windows in the middle of the field, he was having a really good game in the game in which he was knocked out. Now, do I expect Terry Wilson to be Lamar Jackson? No, I don't. But I do think you can expect him to make normal improvement that a player makes, a young player makes when he becomes a more mature player. And, you know, I think I expect him to have a good year. And in a way, I think the fact that the season has been moved back and is starting later benefits him, because it gives him more time, more recovery time, and more time to work some rest off, because he did miss the last, 11 games of the season last year.
The schedule. The powers that be of the SEC gave Kentucky, it was a Charles Dickens special, the best of times and the worst of times. At Alabama, the worst. Home against Mississippi, probably the best they could have come up with. You look at this schedule, 10 games. If you were to predict a win total, and out in the desert, our friends in the desert say it's between 5 and 5.5. For this show, we're going to use 5.5. You look at this total wins for the Kentucky season, over or under 5.5, Mark Story.
Well, I'm going to answer that tomorrow, because our college football special section comes out and I pick the season game by game. So that's where my answer will be. I do think I think this is an interesting test for the Kentucky football program. The program is clearly, you know, improved by, you know, any metric you want to look at. It's gotten better. You know, SEC competition has always been hard for Kentucky. You know, I think Kentucky's had 8 winning records in SEC play in its history, and it's a charter member of the SEC. So this is going to be a big challenge, but it's also going to tell us, you know, a lot about the program. And I think they're, you know, fairly well equipped in terms of having a veteran offensive line, a lot of returnees from a really good defense. You know, I think they bring some things to this to meet the challenge. You know, the thing that I think is interesting about the schedule, you know, you look at some of the games that on paper look impossible, you know, at Alabama, that game actually sets up pretty well for Kentucky just from a scheduling standpoint. The week before Alabama plays Kentucky, they're at LSU. The week after Alabama plays Kentucky, it's Auburn, which is, you know, a holy war. You know, is Kentucky good enough to, if Alabama's flat or looking ahead, is Kentucky good enough to beat them in Tuscaloosa? You know, I don't know. You'll see tomorrow how I pick, but, you know, the game, just in terms of how it sets up great for UK. And, you know, the Georgia game here in Lexington, the week before Georgia comes here, that they play at Alabama. So that, too, you know, just at least in the setup, is positive for Kentucky. So, you know, we're going to get a chance to see if they're good enough against, you know, the nation's elite teams to take advantage of some positive setups and see if they can do something historic.
Yeah, you bring up a good point about the schedule. The 2 weeks before Kentucky plays Alabama, they have a bye week and then Vandy. That's the easiest 2 weeks that Kentucky has all year long. So, yeah, maybe they do have a chance at Alabama. Well, maybe to cover the point spread at least. ESPN Radio 1300 to 92.5. The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor, here with Mark Story from the Lexington Herald Leader. We talked about all these football tests and all the football schedules that are coming out. Now the Big Ten wants to come back into the game. But we haven't been talking about college basketball a lot around here. Do you see any changes for the Kentucky schedule this year? Maybe no non-conference schedule? And are we going to have an NCAA tournament next season? Because if we don't, I'm going to need professional help from Gamblers Anonymous.
I do think the schedule will change. At this point, I do not think it'll just be conference games. We talked earlier about kind of how some of the things that with football in terms of playing, you know, without students on campus, just the optics of that and their willingness to do that, I actually think college basketball is going to use kind of a modified bubble system. You know, I think they'll go to school off what the NBA and the WNBA have done, and I think they'll try to, you know, I think they'll move the season back to after Thanksgiving, because I think many of the schools have set Thanksgiving as the last time the students are going to be on campus, so you can sort of create a natural bubble for your basketball team, you know, in kind of an elongated holiday break, and I think you may see, you know, teams, you know, Tom Izzo has, you know, talked about the Champions Classic instead of being a one-night event. You know, all those four teams go somewhere, form a bubble, and play round robin. I think you may see stuff like that. And I do think there will be an NCAA tournament, probably also, you know, contested in a bubble scenario.
UK basketball got a commitment this week from someone ranked number 76 in the Rivals prospect list, and we're not big people here on this show to talk about recruiting all the time, but it was noticeable because it was not a kid that was from Kentucky to kind of placate the fan base. Kid is from Seattle. So is Calipari changing things in the way he recruits, or is he just getting tired of having so many kids leaving early to go to the pros?
Yeah, that's a good question. I do think they have, you know, have started to adjust a little bit. I think that is apparent, you know, somewhat in the fact that they take a graduate transfer now pretty much every year. You know, he took a traditional transfer with Jacob Toppin, and Nolan Hickman, the player you mentioned, is you know, I think would be the, I believe if I looked this up, he would be, if his ranking stayed the same using Rivals, he would be the fourth least highly regarded player to sign with Kentucky in the current coaching era. Now, in fairness to him, you know, 24/7 has him ranked number 30, so it's possible, you know, that Rivals is underranking him. But yeah, I do think there's at least an adjustment being made in how Kentucky is recruiting.
ESPN Radio 1392.5, The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor and Mark Story here on your Sunday morning. Keon Brooks came out this week and said on social media with the Jacob Blake incident, he said, "It's almost like we're being hunted." Do you think that this is something that is almost encouraged by UK athletics to say, go out on social media and say these things? Because we all know this Rupp Arena name controversy has started to gain some legs. Is this something, maybe the name controversy too, you see gaining legs and getting changed in the near future?
I'm not sure. I think UK allows its players to speak their minds, and I support that. Whether, you know, actually the subject of my column in the paper tomorrow is just kind of what I think the fans, you know, I think the relation, I think sports is changing. I think sports, we're in a point where sports is going to become a more political institution, and I think fans are going to have to, you know, adjust, and I, you know, understand that probably some fans are going to watch less. I mean, I, when people, you know, say on Twitter, "I'm not watching anymore," I take them at their word. But the point I would make in the column is you don't have to agree with, you know, you can be friends with people that you don't agree with, and you know, you can respect people for their personal characteristics, you know, that you have, whose politics are different than yours. And you can, and in my opinion, you can certainly support players that help your team win, whether their politics are the same as yours or not. So I hope that I hope the fans will be respectful of college players in particular, you know, acting from, you know, out of, you know, a sense of, you know, idealism, or, you know, wanting to try to make the world better, you know, whether you agree with the means they choose to do that, or share their political, you know, viewpoint, or, you know, I hope the fans will be respectful.
One more question, Mark Story. You weren't one of those people that thought UK was going to make the Final Four in basketball before the pandemic, were you?
I was not. I think they would have had a chance, because, you know, I do think they had talent, but I just, you were entering the tournament, you know, your point guard situation was sort of in flux. You know, they'd been turning the ball over a lot at that position throughout the second part of the season. You know, I think probably the natural feeling of that team was probably Elite Eight. But, you know, if you get in the tournament and get hot, you have a chance.
Mark Story of the Lexington Herald Leader, thank you so much for your time here on this Sunday morning. Tell us where we can find your work online and where we can find you on social media, because I know you have a big column coming out about Kentucky football.
You can read our stuff at Kentucky.com or at KentuckySports.com, and I'm on Twitter at Mark C. Story. That's at Mark C. Story.
Mark, we thank you very much. The next time you see your coworker John Clay, point to his shirt like he spilled something on it, and then when he looks down, flip up his nose and tell him that's from the Bottom Line. Could you do that for us?
Yeah, I'll make a big point of doing that.
Please Brad. Do. Please do. Thank you, Mark, so much for joining us.
Thanks, Brad. Thanks for having me.
That was Mark Story of the Lexington Herald Leader. Make sure to check out his column in that newspaper and on Kentucky.com to see how many wins he thinks Kentucky football will have this year. Something tells me his number is going to be a little different than ours here on The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor here on ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5. And coming up after the break, it's time to talk SEC football win totals. Who's going over? Who's going under? Who will cash your tickets? And who'll break your heart? All that coming up next. But first, J&R Construction is an award-winning home remodeling company, and our good friend Jimmy Skinny McKinney is now offering virtual appointments. So if a virtual appointment is what you need, you can see Jimmy Skinny McKinney's face on your computer and tell him all your design, build, and remodeling needs. J&R Construction helps everyone enjoy the process by offering customer service and quality service because relationships matter. So contact our good friend Jimmy Skinny McKinney today. They're located at 633 West Main Street here in Lexington, 859-225-0162, or you can check him out online, jrcsi.com. SEC win totals from out in the desert coming up right here on ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5.
Because that's the bottom line.
ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5. The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor is my producer Angelo tries to sabotage my show. We were talking over the break. Mark Story, the Lexington Herald Leader. We had a great talk with him. But he called Terry Wilson a game manager. And I asked Angelo, who is the best game manager of all time in terms of quarterbacks? Because usually when you talk about a quarterback as a game manager, they usually stink. You never hear John Elway or Brett Favre, the old school. You don't hear Tom Brady. They're not referred to as game managers. What about? And Angelo had a good comeback for that. Go ahead.
I had a good comeback. I guess I forgot.
Yeah, I guess you did forget. Yep. We talked about the best game managers of all time, and Angelo brought up a whole lot of them. I came up Bob Greasy from the 70s on the only undefeated Dolphins team. When he, in those Super Bowls, they won Super Bowl 7 and 8. Bob Greasy completed 14 passes in both of those Super Bowls. Patrick Mahomes, I bet he completed 14 passes in the fourth quarter of last year's Super Bowl.
Yeah, Bob Greasy is a guy that obviously I'm a little too fresh to have watched in person. I think a lot of people would say that would be the correct answer, but then you got guys like, I don't know, Terry Bradshaw. I mean, he had like one really good year, if I'm not mistaken, which I very well could be. It was like 1975. 73, he won like an MVP, was on first
late
team All-Pro, and then he never, like,
yes.
I mean, he's a guy that a lot of people just say, if it wasn't for the steal, like, you could have plugged in anybody, even though he was a first overall pick,
even though
he was, you know, a great prospect, super athletic, he was not very well thought of when it came to throwing the ball down the field.
Especially early on, you're absolutely right about that. But when you hear the term game manager, you immediately think, well, that quarterback stinks because, you know, you don't hear the superstar quarterbacks referred to that way. So that's why when I hear that term, it's kind of like the code. We have a lot of terms in this, in the announcing industry. When you hear that term, it's kind of hidden message for something else. But it's a good thing that Mark Story did that. Call us out on that. College football started last night. Austin Peay in Central Arkansas. I'm sure Angelo had a lot of action on that game. Why didn't anybody else figure this out? They had the college football spotlight all to themselves. Central Arkansas, 4.5-point favorite. Game goes down to the last play. By the way, that total, under 46.5. First week of college football with all these teams, I would definitely be looking at taking under the point totals of these. These offenses aren't ready to go. The defenses are rip-roaring and ready to go. First half unders especially, I'd go under in a lot of these games. But that brings us to what we're going to talk about this segment, SEC win totals from our friends out in the desert, except this one was Bovada, so they're in a faraway place. We found the odds for the win totals for the SEC, all 14 SEC teams, and we came up with seven that we like to go either under or over their win total. One of those seven, yes, it is Kentucky. So let's get to it. Remember, these totals include the SEC championship game. So that might help our first pick here in terms of crunching the numbers. We have these in three tiers. Our first tier is our chalk-pushing big boy, and that's Alabama at 9 total wins, minus 110. The juice is very important in these. We'll get to that later. The schedule maker really helped the Tide when they came out with the new schedule. Their toughest games, Georgia and at LSU. All the other ones, they'll be easy double-digit favorites. Nick Saban, 15 SEC games he's lost in 13 seasons. I kind of like my chances of going over 9 because he's only lost 6 games total in the last 5 years, and that includes all the playoff games. Mac Jones, who people remember around here, a former University of Kentucky commitment. People are saying, well, we'd rather have Terry Wilson. Well, you might be changing your tune come December. He's probably the best quarterback of the SEC. In the desert, he's the most valuable quarterback of the SEC. I can promise you that. And here's a gambling tip for you. Nick Saban against the spread the last 5 years in every game, 16-20. So you're losing money if you bet on Alabama in the desert every time. There's a little stuff you don't get everywhere else, but you get it here on the bottom line. We'll go over 9 wins for Alabama because, mainly, you include the SEC championship game. So the next category is our people, teams that miss the cupcakes. Teams that used to pray and eat those cupcakes, and they'd have 2 or 3 a year, and you get those 3 easy wins, like Kentucky used to be. They used to go 3-5 of the SEC, but oh, by the way, they got 3 cupcakes. Now you got 6 wins. Now you make it to a bowl game. These teams are going to miss the cupcakes this year. Let's look at Florida. 7.5 is the win total, -105 your juice. The SEC gave them the hardest game of all the games that were added to the schedules when they went at A&M on the road. That's likely a loss for the Gators. Dan Mullen, their coach, yeah, he's 11-5 in the SEC games at Florida, but at Mississippi State, he had a losing record. Kyle Trask, he ran Felipe Franks out of town, but if you saw Felipe Franks, that wasn't that tough. Too many tough games for the Gators at A&M, LSU, Georgia. They're not going to get to 8. They're not going to be 8-2 with all those teams. Under 7.5 for the Gators. That's who we like in our miss the cupcakes tier. Now we're getting to the middle of the roads. Let's get to Tennessee. Their win total is 5, +115. So you're getting some juice on that. Jeremy Pruitt, the Nick Saban former protege, he's 7-9 in SEC games. Plus side for the Vols, their toughest games are at home. Alabama, Florida, A&M. The bad news, they've lost 6 home games in 2 years under Pruitt. And against the top 25 under Pruitt, Tennessee is 1-8. The minus side for Tennessee is if there wasn't enough already. They're tough games on the road, too. They got to go to Georgia. They got to go to Auburn. Guarantano, I never do say that right. Guarantano, the quarterback of Tennessee, he's a rich man's Terry Wilson. Terry Wilson's actually better than Guarantano, and that's saying something. We'll take Tennessee to go under 5. Yeah, my producer Angelo over here just about feigned a heart attack because I actually gave Terry Wilson a compliment. Yeah, under Tennessee, 5 wins. Let's go under +115. And now we do get to Kentucky. No line on the Bovada website got more action than Kentucky. When they started out on the website, it was 4.5 +105. So many people pounded the over on this. The line, by the time they took it down on Friday, was 5 -190 to the over. That is a huge difference. Now you got to pay a ton of juice to go over 5. We all know the story on Kentucky, the road games at Auburn, Alabama, and Florida, home against Georgia. Gambling tip, Stoops is 20-20 against the spread in the SEC the last 5 years. But if you want to go under the total, he's hit 26 out of 40. That's 65%. So there's if you want to go under with Mark Stoops in these SEC games, Terry Wilson, we've already gone over him ad nauseum. I don't know who moved the line more, the Wise Guys or the Big Blue Nation. I have a feeling it was Big Blue Nation. Let's go under 5 +150 as it closed with Kentucky this season. Let's go to Ole Miss. Who knows anybody on Ole Miss right now other than Lane Kiffin? Everybody says Lane Kiffin. Nobody knows anybody else. He doesn't have much to work with. Let's look for unders in those. Who's the quarterback? Matt Corral. He wasn't that good last year. But Lane Kiffin, is he a quarterback genius? We're going to see. All those SEC West teams they have to go to. Yeah, and in the East they get Florida. And yes, they get Kentucky here in Lexington. They're going to lose that one in Kentucky too. Mississippi, under 3.5 wins, -105. And then we get to the next tier. Give us your tired, your poor, and your huddled masses. Arkansas, 1.5 over +120. Sam Pittman, first-time head coach. His offensive coordinator, Kendall Briles. Where is that name familiar? Baylor. Yeah, that's not good news. But your defensive coordinator, Barry Odom, the former coach at Missouri. That's probably good news. They've got some winnable games. They're at home against Missouri. They get Tennessee at home. Might be a winnable game. And they get to play Missouri. And the defensive coordinator, Barry Odom, used to be the coach of Missouri. A little bit of revenge there. Felipe Franks, your new quarterback. He was terrible at Florida, but he can't be anything worse than what they had at Arkansas the last few years. We'll go over 1.5 wins for Arkansas +120. And then our favorite one, the Vanderbilt Commodores. 1-5 +190. You're getting a ton of juice. You're getting a ton of action on this. Derek Mason, 6 years at Vandy, 10 SEC wins. That's almost 1.5 right there. And now you're adding games to it. You've got winnable games. Ole Miss, You got South Carolina. You got Tennessee. You get to go to Missouri. Who's their quarterback? We don't know. It's some junior college transfer named Musa. They were 2-9 against the spread last year. Usually when you have a team that's really bad against the spread, the next year they come back big. Look at 2 years ago. Louisville was 1-11 against the spread. Last year, absolutely huge. So that's our pick. Vandy over 1.5 wins. It's going to be tough. It's a stinky one, but that's how you make money out of the desert. You take the stinky picks. So that's those are our SEC win totals for the year. Alabama over 9. Florida under 7.5. Tennessee under 5. Kentucky under 5. Ole Miss under 3.5. And Arkansas and Vandy over 1.5. You could take those bad boys to the desert and smoke them. Coming up on ESPN Radio 1392.5, we will have our Mac Daddy Stogie picks for today's card in the NBA and Major League Baseball. But first, Trey McCauley is an experienced real estate broker, and this is the time, if there ever is a time, to invest in real estate. He's got a 5-star rating on Zillow. You can find him right now, bestlexingtonhomes.com, and his phone number, 859-312-7599. The most profitable segment in Lexington Radio coming up after the break, right here on ESPN Radio 1300 92.5. I've been trying to call. I've been on my own for long enough. Maybe you can show me how to love. Maybe. ESPN Radio 1300 92.5. I'm teaching Angelo here about 80s music. You're hearing the Pet Shop Boys coming back to
radio. I don't think I need to be taught anything about it.
Oh, yes,
I think
you
it
do.
Just needs to I think it needs to stay. Trust me, I know a lot of people like 80s music. I just like it to stay in the 80s. That's all.
There's no need for cheap shots. It's the Bottom Line with Brad Taylor and...
Coming from you.
No need for cheap shots. I've been called a cheap shot artist here on that show. Coming up after the Cheap Shot Show here with Brad Taylor, it is Angelo Carriero and the Angelo Show. Angelo, did you have any? Did you get your wrestling picks right last week?
No, I went 1-3 in my predictions.
Thanks for
reminding me of that.
Well, hey, we are the cheap shot artists.
We are the cheap shot artists.
Was there a Brooklyn Brawler mentioned last week?
A Brooklyn Brawler mentioned. No, that's probably another thing that could probably stay in the
80s too.
The
Genius Lanny
Poffo. Yeah, that's another one.
SD Special Delivery Jones.
Nobody knows. IRS.
Barry Horowitz.
IRS, I don't know.
Very good. That's very good. What's coming up on the Angelo Show?
We're going to be talking about the situation. There's always a situation going on somewhere in Big Blue Nation. It's not hard to go to find one. Recently, Keon Brooks said that he thought that the Rupp Arena needed a name change. John Calipari came up to defend him. And then on top of the NBA's postponement, we're just going to be talking about a couple of different things when it comes to a little bit of outside the hardwood. But we do have a lot of on-field stuff going on with UK football. Practices are going, and they are booming right now. Auburn game is less than a month away, so Coach Grant and Coach Stoops got us prepared in some Zoom conference calls. And then we're just going to cover a little Lakers, a little Anthony Davis, WWE payback predictions for tonight. And then I'll talk to Tate's Creek head coach Gerard Gay about the situations. We had a couple murders here lately that involved some Tate's Creek players, and he's going to talk, and he has some thoughts that he needs to get out there, so we're going to have him on.
Well, God bless all those involved in that, but I have a question. Is there there's another wrestling pay-per-view tonight? How many do they have? Every week?
I really thought that this was going to be their counter to AEW's All Out or All In or whatever's coming up next for them, but no, that pay-per-view's next week, and I guess the reason why they created this is because Roman Reigns returned at SummerSlam, and I think they just needed a quick pay-per-view because they were like, well, he's back, give him the title. So I think that Roman Reigns, here's a spoiler, and this is not a prediction, it is a spoiler, in the words of Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman. Roman Reigns is going to leave the Universal Champion tonight.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Angelo Carriero says, Roman Reigns, the new WWE champion, get your bets down where you can on the faraway places, if you know what I mean.
Maybe not after I went 1-3 last week on my championship
prediction.
That's
a good point.
So.
You're the Barry Horowitz of predictions here on The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Make sure to tune in for the Angelo Show. We'll teach him about Barry Horowitz and the Genius Lanny Poffo, who did beat Hulk Hogan in the 80s, by the way, on Saturday Night Main Event. Go look it up. It's on YouTube. It's one of the best matches of all time. But for now, we're going to try to make you some real money here on The Bottom Line, not this fake stuff like WWE. The Mac Daddy Stogies, the most profitable segment in Lexington Radio. NBA favorites in the playoffs, 22-12 so far in the first round, 64.7%. The favorite we like today the most, the Clippers. We'll take the Clippers over Dallas. Is everybody going to play for Dallas? Are they saying 1-2-3 Cancun in the huddle? Clippers a big favorite. We hate taking favorites, but in the NBA playoffs in the first round, this is a good time to do it. The Mavs may be out of the bubble by the time the sun goes down tonight. Let's take the Clippers finishing the series against Dallas. Let's take them getting out. Sprinkle a little bit on these unders in the NBA playoffs, too, in games is 6 and 7 in the NBA playoffs. The unders hit 58% of the time since 2005. That's 99 and 72. That's a large sample size and a good return on investment there. Hit the unders in the NBA games tonight. Reds and Cubs today here at 12:40. Pregame starts here on ESPN Radio 1392.5. Luis Castillo, Tyler Chatwood. Luis Castillo, a very good pitcher, but how come he doesn't make more money for the Reds? He's 40. The Reds are 41 and 43 lifetime. It is 84 starts. If you put $1 on Luis Castillo every game, you're down $5.13. Home games, he's still a loser. But against the Cubs, he's 6-4 lifetime. So you got a little bit of a profit if you've taken Castillo against the Cubs. His opponent, Tyler Chatwood, 17-12. The Cubs are when he starts lifetime. A little bit of a return on investment. Cubs are 2-2 when it starts this year. The only problem with the Reds today is they're minus 150. That's too much juice for me to take. I'm going to make Angelo very happy.
We are going to go with the Cubs today.
We are going to put
your savings on it.
Let's go pizza money on the Cubs today.
Life savings.
I know your life savings. All $23 on the Cubs today. Angelo Carriero. We're going to take the Cubs as a dog, a bigger dog than they should be. Cubs over Reds today. Great American Ballpark. That's your Mac Daddy Stogie in the baseball world. So we like the Clippers, both unders in the NBA playoffs, and a little pizza money on the Cubs. Remember, take emotion out of every decision. We don't have to take our favorite teams all the time.
Can you do that in a parlay? Is that what you're suggesting?
No.
To take both at the same time?
Never take parlays.
No.
See, I have so much to teach you.
Can't you get more money if you do
parlays? You can, but your odds of winning go down.
But they're your Max Stogie of the week.
Yeah,
you're going to get two guarantees.
If you win 53% of the time, you lose 47% of the time. I have a lot of lessons to teach you here on The Bottom Line, Angelo. Make sure to tune in to The Angelo Show coming up next. We thank you for listening to The Bottom Line today with Brad Taylor here on ESPN Radio 1392.5. Don't forget Cubs and Reds this afternoon, 12:40 here on ESPN Radio. And tonight on ESPN Radio, it's Braves and Phillies at 7 o'clock. Terry Mulholland versus Steve Avery. What? Still not them? Do these teams play every Sunday night? They played last Sunday night, too. It's Husker Enoa versus Jake Arrieta. Say that name five times fast. Make sure to stay tuned for the Angelo Show coming up next. Thank you for listening to The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. We appreciate you listening this morning. Right here on ESPN Radio 1390.